Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Throughout this month of December, I've been talking to you about songs of the season. And as I told you in the beginning, my intent has been and is that when you hear these songs being played, that they would have a fuller and richer meaning to you, even beyond the basic words of the songs. All of these that we have shared together have deeper meaning. This morning, I want to take the last one, because after today, they'll pack those up for another year and we won't hear them for a while. But if you'll turn your attention, I believe that we have a group going to sing this morning's song.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt the thrill of the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angel voices.
some money come New Year.
We won't charge you for the extra part on there. It's interesting with this particular hymn that it is not sung even as you just heard it. This is the way we recognize it, but it's not the way it was written. It was composed by Adolphe Adam in 1847 in France to a French poem that he wrote. He was not a believer, but he was commissioned to write a poem to dedicate a new cathedral. And as he wrote this poem, and I'm only going to give you the first stanza, but just so that you can hear the difference between the two. His original poem, translated into English, says, "Midnight Christians is the solemn hour when God as man descended unto us to erase the stain of original sin and to end the wrath of his Father. The entire world thrills with hope on this night that gives it a Savior. People, kneel down, await your deliverance. Christmas, Christmas, here is the Redeemer. Christmas, Christmas, here is the Redeemer." A Unitarian minister named John Sullivan Dwight, the editor of the Journal of Music, took that poem and rewrote it. It's the only way I can say it. He rewrote it using the basic theme of that passage. But this is the same portion. "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night divine, O night divine." Vastly different, but holding to the same picture and theme. They are both centered on Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. And I began to think about this, and I believe, with the help of the Holy Spirit, thinking about the reality of these words, "O holy night." Was it a holy night? Holy, in the Word of God, means separate unto God. And I would contend to you this morning that it was a holy night. In Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1, it says, "In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting their child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." I would offer to you this morning that it was the right time. It was a holy night because it was the right time. Something I do not have time to expound upon this morning, we will at another time, is a passage found in Daniel chapter 9. He said, 77s are decreed for your people and for your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. No one understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be 77s, or 490 years. The command of Cyrus to rebuild the temple was given in 539 BC. You see, that night, that holy night that Christ was born, though a surprise to all present, probably even to Mary and Joseph, because babies come when they come, and so they're somewhat of a surprise to us. Oh, we may know approximately when they're going to come, but they come when they're ready to come. What we need to understand is that the Christ child came into this world exactly on time. This can give us, I believe, great assurance when we're waiting on God. Anybody here ever wait on God? You know, you pray a prayer and you wait, and you wait, and sometimes you wait and you wait. He's never late. He's always right on time. This prophecy that was given to Daniel was fulfilled to the moment. Imagine that with me for just a second, to realize that God, well in advance, 500 years in advance of the birth of Jesus, knew the day when he was going to come. He knows right where we're at. He knows right in the perfect situation that we are going through. And if our hand and our life is in his hands, we can rest. Amen? It was a holy night because it was the right time. Secondly, this morning, it was a holy night because it was the right place. I always think that this is quite interesting because, see, Mary and Joseph were in the wrong place at the right time. They were living in Nazareth. Imagine the things that God had to move around in order to get them to the right place at the right time. It's astounding. My Bible says, verse number 4, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Why did they go? They went there because there was a census taken. It was the first census that took place in that area. It wasn't something that was common. It was the very first one. At the exact time, sending him to the exact place that he needed to be. Because you see, the prophet Micah says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old and from ancient times. Every Jewish person knew that the Messiah was going to come from Bethlehem. They understood that word of prophecy. And yet, over 100 miles away was Joseph and his espoused wife, Mary, who was going to deliver the Messiah into the world. Now, I don't know about you, but these kind of things really kind of tweak my brain. Because you think for a moment of what pieces God had to move in order to make that happen. He had to move on Caesar, who was an ungodly man, a godless man. Move on Caesar that a census should be taken. He had to move on Quirinius, the governor, to mandate that everyone return back to their home of lineage. Not where they lived, but to their home of lineage. So imagine all of that questioning and all that stuff that went on in order for God to move those ungodly men so that one couple would end up in Bethlehem on the right night, to be in the right place at the right time. So what's that have to do with me? It has everything to do with us. You know, we think, oh, how could God ever help me in this circumstance that I'm in? How could I ever, this isn't impossible. Nothing is impossible with God.
He can move on the ungodly. He can move governments. He can move governors. He can move cities. He can move whatever he needs to do in order to make his will be done. It was a holy night because it was the right time and the right place. Yeah. I know. It's Christmas morning. You just woke up. Feel free to say, praise the Lord. See, that's what this whole song is about. Fall on your knees. He's saying, reckon with what has happened for you. Because again, this was for you and for me. God did not come into this world just for occupancy. He's the God of the universe. He came in the form of man on a particular night to a particular place so that his life could be a particular life for you and for me. Now, I need to show you here from the scripture that though it was a particular night, it was an every night. Look at verse number 8. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. This was as common could be. It was an every night. I think that's incredibly important because holy nights are every night. I can wait. I said, holy nights are every night. That is, nights that are set apart unto God. Maybe you have been, as I have, doing something completely different. Doing something, if you would say, unholy. Just human. And all of a sudden, just something sweep over me. To be aware of the presence of the Lord. And every night. Not too long ago, I was walking through our meeting place of Walmart. Well, that's where I see all of you. That's where I do my pastoral visitation. I'm going to go visit the congregation, go to Walmart. So I was walking through Walmart. My goodness. I just felt God's presence. There are times that I'm in here and I'm praying right here at this altar and I don't feel his presence that abundantly. But right there in Walmart. You see, holy nights are every night when you're watching and listening for a Savior. Shepherds keeping their watch at night. Shepherds always on watch over their sheep. Listen to the words of the hymn. Long lay the world in sin and error pining until he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Hallelujah. I guarantee you, you know, taking the journey, the plunge, going to Walmart, particularly when it's busy, it's not exactly fun. But days later, I can remember going to Walmart because I met with the Lord there. He said, did the ceiling open up and you see the heavens? Did you see a ladder going up and the angels ascending and descending? No. No, it was just his presence came into my heart and into my mind, and it became, for a moment, a holy place. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Oh, there's so much, Sarah. I would love to totally lay this out, but I would point out to you that it was a night of promise and a new day for mankind. The heavens broke that night, and angels poured forth to announce, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on whom his favor rests. Now you know, it's joy to the world, but it's peace to whom his favor rests. You hear that? It's joy to the world, the Lord has come. But it is peace to those on whom his favor rests. So there is an acceptance of the night that makes it truly holy. You know, there are many who are celebrating this day without the reality. I in no way look to them in a critical or with a critical eye, because I was lost before Jesus found me. How many of you were lost before Jesus found you? Yeah. So see, we have that very much in common. And joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. But those who will accept his grace, that's what favor means there, his grace. His extended arm of grace and forgiveness to those who will accept his favor. To them he gives peace. What a glorious thing it is for us today to acknowledge a particular day and a particular place when a particular Savior came to be born to bring joy to the world and peace to those who would accept it. I want you to hear, as we close this morning, I want you to hear that song one more time. And this time a different group's going to sing it. But particularly listen to the words. If you know them, you can sing along with them. They won't be offended. They can handle it. But particularly listen, it says, fall on your knees. You don't have to literally do that to fall on your knees. He, Lord Jesus, is worthy of our worship, church. I commend you for your willingness to come out on this Sunday, because I know that you gather in with family and many of you had plans. I commend you for including a time of worship in your plans for today. My prayer is that God will bless this time back to you, that this will be the sweetest, most precious Christmas that you've ever had. Amen? As a family. I'm praying that God would bless, as I look out across this room, I see different individuals who have had catastrophic events this year. Even within the last few weeks, that life is much more precious today than what they ever imagined because of what they've gone through. None of us know what the year ahead holds, but praise God, I know the one who holds my hand. Amen?
So watch and listen and sing along with if you desire. Heard that. That's exactly the way I would sing it if I could. Wow. What a privilege it is for us to know Jesus.